Let's begin. Today is May 2nd, 2022. And yes, Yomo, what's up? All the recordings around, everything is gone. Come back as soon as you can. I want to say Boker Tov Mevorach to all those listening. And it's good to be back. And Nekaverach Lebesora Tovat. I want to dedicate today's shiur. I had some shocking news a few days ago. And as we give shiur today, the funeral is taking place, if the plane arrives on time, in Eretz Chaim. Dr. Dale Pianko, I don't know how many of you recognize the name. This was a couple, Lenny, YU graduate, a medical doctor, cardiologist, his wife, brilliant lady, a PhD, a taught graduate, postgraduate. And Dale died suddenly, very, very shocking. And she was a very devoted student of mine. I can tell you that I would come to Hollywood, Florida, and she would repeat a shiur that I gave a few weeks earlier, word by word. And if you think she only did it to entertain me, there are other people in Hollywood, Florida, who can testify how she could repeat my shiurim syllable by syllable. And just breaks the heart. She left a wonderful family. One of her children live in Israel, which is good news. Lives here, children here, grandchildren here. The future is here. So, Tehenav Shah Tzudra B'Tzara Chayim. And I just extend my feelings and Malka's feelings. The family shouldn't know any more tzar. And Lenny, you should go Michayel El Chayel. Okay. I say things, and am I quoted properly? I want to tell you on Hatnachat, first of all, in the latest issue of this wonderful magazine that the Mizrahi is putting out, this is a brilliant issue about the youth, in the editor's page on page 3, as Rabbi Ira Kefet Rothkopf once said, quote, Israel is a country that was built by children who didn't listen to their parents, end quote. I want to tell you that is an absolute perfect quote. Not always am I quoted properly. A quote, this is my grandson sent this to me from his kehila. It's their bulletin for the shul in Gibat Zev. And my grandson wrote the Pashat Pashaba Kehilar Yosef Ackerman. That's my grandson, Kedoshim Ukedusha. Saba Shali Harav Aaron Rakefet Amali Pam Mishpat Shenecherat Etzli. Quote, Kasha Adam Motzi at the Kadosh Baruch Hu Mimekaz Chayav Hu Bederech Klal Yasim Et Atzmo Bimekaz Chayav Bimkom HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My grandson goes on, I have to tell you that's a perfect quote. When you take God out of your life, you see the Western world, we worship ourselves. We're idol worshipers. Who we worship ourselves. We decide, we declare, we're the bosses. Now, regarding my letter to the editor, which with Rabbi Riskin, you know, I've said it all along. You can pick it up on YU Torah. It's very hard for me to criticize Steve. We grew up together. We sat in front of the Rav together. And I know the great accomplishments of his in the 1960s. But nevertheless, the years have moved on, and recently he's taken stands that greatly disturbed me. The ordaining of women, you all know, I tried Lalamate Split that there's a male rabbi, a female rabbi, but whatever I said, I was not out of the box, because the people in Efrat said, no, this is the rabbi, the woman. Rabbanit Mervis, etc. All right, that's a lot to be said on the topic. It's not for now. I've spoken about it in the past in great detail, the year I devoted to feminism, etc. But I didn't say anything in public, just in class, I blew my stack. Then came the Dakota incident and Rabbi Riskin's article in the Post. Let the reform, let the conservative, let them have their own temples at Dakota. And there I went public. And I guess for now I got a whole correspondence accusing me of saying reform and conservative Jews can't come to Dakota, can't dominate Dakota. and they quote, and here's a quote against me. Tell me, Jack, you listening carefully? Tell me who you heard this from. And they're quoting someone from McClellan Lindenbaum. We Orthodox Jews are the ones solely responsible for all that's happened regarding Reform Jewry. At the beginning, in order to differentiate themselves from us, they called us Orthodox and themselves Reformed. Had we had the wisdom, we would have only called ourselves Jews. Their appellation would never have taken hold, and we would have prevented the establishment of different kinds of Judaism, etc. Tell me, who's the individual who came up years ago yelling and shouting, don't call me Orthodox, call me a Jew? I think his name is Aaron Rakefet Makaf Rothkopf. If my memory, Charlie, am I correct? How many times have you heard me say it? So I get hit over the head with my own thinking. Then they called Shlomo LeKalbach to me. Tell me, I never gave shayurim than the ones I gave on Rav Meir Kahana of Shlomo LeKalbach. I got more compliments from around the world. Rebbe, you were honest. You handled it well, the black and the white. Ay, let every Reform and conservative Jew come and daven at the Kotel. Let every non-Jew daven at the Kotel. Tell me, how many of you remember Shlomo Melech's prayer? When the Beit HaMikdash was built, didn't he explicitly say that the prayers of the Goyim, Chazal already commented on it, when you pray at the Kotel Ben, you have to be worthy that your prayers should be answered. But when a Goy comes from Lakewood who mowed your lawn, and he's at the Kotel, he prays his prayer automatically. It doesn't matter who he is, what he does, his prayers are answered. Let every non-Jew come. But this is the cult of Maharavi. This is the Srid Beit HaMikdash. This is where separate feeding was institutionalized. That's what I wrote in my letter, quoting the Gemara and Sukkah, etc. That's what I've spoken about. When you go to the Vatican, you dress a certain way. There's a protocol. When Elizabeth Taylor or Marilyn Monroe, or I don't know who the movie stars are today, go to the Vatican, they dress a certain way. They don't dress the way they dress in Hollywood in the movie. And this is the cult now. There's a way to act, but it's much deeper than that. Rabbi Riskin's article, and you have to remember who Rabbi Riskin is. Rakefet says something, two people in the world are listening. All right, maybe a few more than two. But Rabbi Riskin is a world-class personality. When he says, let the Reform have a Reform temple at the Kotel, what you're saying is pluralism. You're saying people have a choice. Judaism is tripartite. You can be Orthodox, conservative, Reform. Everything is wonderful. This is exactly the opposite message that I received from the earlier generations, from Mori Rebbe, from Mufak, Rav Soloveitchik, from the Baruch Kutler, from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, right down the line from my 80 plus years of learning and teaching and thinking. This is the exact opposite. There is one Judaism, there is no Orthodox, there's no conservative, there's no Reform. You want to be a good Jew? Shabbat, Kashrut, Tarat, Mishpacha. You don't want to be a good Jew. You have freedom of choice. All of religion is based upon. Look at the Hilchot Teshuvah, Bechira Chavshit, Eat Chaser on Yom Kippur. So what? It's your choice. But be aware that what you're doing, there will come a time that you'll face the Ribono Shel Olam. All right. The Kotel, to go and say what they want is recognition. They want a big sign at the Kotel. Orthodox left, conservative center, Reform right. And this is my objection. What Rabbi Riskin did puts a heksha on pluralism. Pluralism is the end of the Jewish people. Intermarriage, assimilation. Could you imagine, Charlie, all of pre-Pesach and Pesach? What did we hear from the Reform rabbi in the Knesset, the member of Avodah, Chametz on Pesach, all the hospitals, right or wrong, then am I making it up or this did happen? You got to pinch yourself. Do you know that the founders of Maariv Avodah are turning over in their graves? Chametz on Pesach. Jews, they're Jews, not that from Chametz on Pesach. Ask any Russian Jew what he remembers, the only education he had in Russia in the 60s, the 70s, into the 80s, was that you'd only Chametz on Pesach. What they fought to bake matzah, and the Russian government had to give in. The communist government gave in. All right, whether the matzah was kosher or not is a different story, because it was regular flour. They gave them flour to bake matzah, but that was matzah already, flour that may have been washed, that may have already been chametz, but you don't say a word. Better they should bake than what they think is matzah. It kept alive Jewish identity. And we want pluralism. I don't know how any Jew in the world, who cares that the Jewish people should continue? Reform chametz, and you know what it means in a hospital? You are sick. You can't get up. I can get up. I can clean off my desk. Person's in bed. Someone walked in and put chametz on the tray, threw it away. He doesn't care. And no, chametz in hospitals. It's bad enough we have a Supreme Court that many of the members are total ignoramuses, and it's a disgrace that they're on the Supreme Court of the State of Israel, which is the continuity of the Jewish people. But a reform rabbi, you're a rabbi, assimilation into marriage, chametz on Pesach, Hillel Shabbos, etc., etc. And we, Orthodox rabbi, writes an article, let them have a reform synagogue. So please, if you quote me on the issue, quote me correctly. Every reform conservative, non-observant Jew, every Gentile in the world, the masses should come to the Kotel and worship the Almighty. But there's a protocol. This is the Makom HaMikdash. And here we have to act in a certain way. And I want to make one other point that's crucially important. And I alluded to this in my letter to the editor. A Talmud who came to visit occasionally, he learns, he's a mir, etc. So he gave me a gift. I found this outside my daughter before Purim. I said, it's the best Shalach Manos I ever got. It's a volume that came out a while ago by Michael Kaufman. I knew Mike. Did you know Michael Kaufman from the Old City? For a while, he went Michael Kaniel. That was Michael Kaufman. An American came out, a very interesting individual, an independent thinker. You follow? Even though he grew up in Williamsburg and Tehrer Vadas, but he there's a whole chapter in here how he can't understand how in Lakewood everyone wears black clothes. Black is the opposite of Kedusha. You want to wear a uniform, wear white. But black, and what black means, Yilbosh Shchorim. Now, he devoted his life to outreach. And there's something else about the culto. There's stories in here, and there's stories that I can tell you about from my own town, Midden. Kids who knew nothing, grew up in the Binyan America, one family, Reformed Jews, four generations already, old-time Germans, Portland, Oregon. And the kid finishes college. I've told this story more than once. As a matter of fact, some of the people I'm talking about actually sat in my classes over the last years when they would visit Israel, last 62 years of teaching. And the kid, well-to-do family, finally finished college. His father sends him to Europe. Kid's touring. Decides for a few more dollars he can see Israel. Why not? Comes to Israel, comes to the Kotel. Something happens to him at the Kotel. Well, I don't have to tell you. He remained. They sent the brother. Go see what happened to your older brother. He's a moron. He's staying in Israel. He's learning in a place called, they can't even pronounce it, Eish HaTorah. The brother comes to Israel. He remains. A true story. They sent the third brother. He remains. They finally sent the one girl in the family. And women has more sense than a man. And she remains, all because of the Kotel. And he tells stories here, similar stories. I can tell you more and more. You're going to take that away, the amount of the kids from the Reform Temple in Portland, Oregon, is going to go to the Reform Temple at the Kotel. He's going to remain the same assimilated intermarrying Jew. Let him experience. Let him stand in front of the Srid Beit HaMikdash. Let him ask questions. Let him be tapped on the shoulder. Are you Jewish? And let the return begin. So I stand on what I said. I am totally opposed to putting up signs. They have an area, the southern wall. Do what you want there. They said you can have reform, conservative, whatever you want. It's a little area. It's empty. How many reform conservative Jews go to Dothan? Just think for a minute. How many are interested in the Kotel? But Rabbi Regev, Rabbi, question mark, Regev, who fights for chametz and fights that from Jews shouldn't be able to go into hospitals on Pesach, he's fighting, we need a reform temple at the Kotel. It's unbelievable. And we Torah Jews, we have to say, we love you, you're a brethren, we accept you, we want you. But when you go to the Vatican, how do you dress? This is the protocol at the Kotel. And we have to make it clear, there's only one Judaism. You want to be a good Jew? Fine. You don't want to be such a good Jew? It's your choice. As I said, you can eat chazer on Yom Kippur, put it in a sandwich, freeze it, defrost it on Shabbos Cholamai Pesach, and eat the sandwich with the chazer on Shabbos Cholamai. Let's figure out how many Yisroel we are. Let's continue. Ad kan. I let off steam. I thank you for coming and listening to me. You have rewarded me for my efforts. Let's roll. The Shurim on the Satna have attracted a lot of attention. And again, I tell all those that have complimented me and troubled me with questions, all your questions will be answered. Just give it a year. Let me do it properly. We're not in high school here. We're not in college. This is for people who can appreciate deeper learning. I'll put it that way then, okay? Depth in learning. I want to understand the Satma. I don't want to criticize the Satma. When we're all finished with the Satma, then I promise you I will refute the Satma, and I challenge any Torah Jew in the world to prove me wrong. But that's a year from now. Here's Rav Hashem. Now, we started with the V'yom Moshe, and the V'yom Moshe, I have to make clear to you, when the V'yom Moshe was originally published, this was it, just what I'm telling you now, I'm going to finish it up today, there was no more to it. It was a volume, maybe 100 pages. Later, V'yom Moshe, when the Rebbe reached America and was established, he did two more sections to the V'yom Moshe, and we're going to come to them later today. We're going to start. We're not going to finish it. It's taken us many months. But the V'yom Moshe we have today is a much larger volume. It's three different sections. The first one remains Maima Shalosh Shavuot, and this is the heart of the Satmar's thinking. We promised the Ribbono Shel Olam we will never take back the land by force. Now, this raises the question that we're going to struggle with, and everyone struggles with. The question will come up in a few minutes. It'll come up later today. And I can only give you my own thinking. Am I right or wrong? I can't be sure. But it's a legitimate answer. According to the Satmar Rav, even if elections were held tomorrow and every last member of the Knesset was on the level of the Chafetz Chaim, 120 Chafetz Chaims in the Knesset. According to the Satmar Rav's thinking, logically, rationally, according to his thinking, this Knesset is absolutely, totally, completely apikrusim, oisvats, trumpenics, pushtakim, call them what you wish. Why? Because the Satmar Rav says there can't be sovereignty before Mashiach Tzidkenu. Well, if they can't be sovereignty before Mashiach Tzidkenu, the Knesset can be filled with the Chaim Isaac Rezhinsky, with the Gerda Rebbe, with the Belzer Rebbe, with the Chafetz Chaim, with the Chaim Brisker, with the Beit HaLevi. But it's forbidden. Period. Exclamation point. Now, that's the way I understand Sakhma. And I'm in good company. Many others understand Sakhma exactly the same. So then the question arises, why is he constantly criticizing Agudat Yisrael? Why is he constantly showing them you're wrong, it doesn't work? Why is he constantly yelling and shouting at them? Just say to them, you're a bunch of ice fobs. There can be no sovereignty before Mashiach, and you're sitting in a Knesset and taking part with sovereignty and rulership and mamlachtiyut and all these beautiful expressions. By the way, for Yom HaTzmut, I don't know, it's not a joke, it's really happening at the Kotel. They're going to have a prayer service, Reform, Conservative, and Liberal Orthodox, etc. And they're going to, did you read in the newspapers? They're going to lay in the Hachrazat HaMedina, the Declaration of Independence. They're going to lay in with Trump of the Torah. And I couldn't believe, and I know who's speaking there, Yaakov Rubinstein, the Agudah already attacked him. Oh, you're at the Knesset, you're reading the Hachrasat HaMedina, Tzur Yisrael, we go, hello. I don't know what Trump they'll put to it, what Pasha, maybe Kedoshim Tiyu, but straight about good, what are you arguing with them? It's just impossible to have a state before Mashiach. Period, exclamation point. Now, I think the reason the Satmar Rav argues with Agudah is because it's a Gemara. Many times in the Gemara, what do you find? You find the Gemara has a Shaila. So the Gemara says, no, this isn't the way Rabbah holds. Rabbah is saying to Rabbi Yehuda, according to your Shita, I would hold this way. I think what the Satmar Rav is doing, he's not changing his point of view, but he's saying, according to your Shita, you're a bunch of idiots. Because what do you have? You have nothing. That's the way I would interpret it. Now, coming back to where we left off a month ago already, before the Pesach break, I'm quoting now from the V'yom Moshe, page, and I'm turning from the final edition of the V'yom Moshe, which is what I've been quoting from all along. Page Kuf Mem Zion. Here he rips the heck out of Agudah over what happened in 1956. Charlie, you remember Hungary, what happened 56? You were in high school, right? You were in MTA. All right, then you should know why you benefited. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I'll explain myself in a minute. In 56, there was a revolution in Hungary. It didn't last long. The Russians came in, conquered, executed. I mean, Russia's Russia. Nothing has changed. Hungary, Czechoslovakia, and the Ukraine, what's going on today. It's nothing really has changed, except they're not communists. And Putin, for whatever the reasons are, loves Jews. I mean, this is my brother. I just spoke with my brother. My brother called me. My brother says, you heard what the Russian foreign minister said? I said, yeah. He said, the Jews are there. He said, but the Russian foreign minister doesn't know that we always say it. Don't we always say the Jews are their own worst enemies? So the Russian foreign minister simply quoted his Jewish friends this morning. But so what happened with Hungary? Hungary was the least anti-religious country under the communists. It's fascinating. Hungary had Jomo, who was rabbi of the great synagogue in Moscow, the only synagogue functioning, the Karl Synagogue on Prospekt Achapova. Were you ever there? Did you ever visit it? See that? He's born in communist Hungary, Ukraine, Russia. And I visited that synagogue maybe 100 times under the communist, I'm talking, in my various trips. So the rabbi was Rabbi Shaya. Where did he study? In Hungary. And I want to tell you, the technically speaking, the Hungarian rabbinic school, by the way, the head of it was a Rabbi Schreiber, was a Chatam Sofer Einigel, but modern, you know, neologue, some, I mean, you know, I'm talking about neologue, what we would call right-wing conservative in America. And the rabbi of the great synagogue in Moscow was a Shema Mitzvah 100%, was in the great London, but he was from 100%. And they turned out rabbis. There were plenty of Jews that remained Hasidic Jews in Hungary. So the Hungarian government saw that they need dollars. They allowed you to buy out Jews. So Agudat Yisrael got very involved, among other organizations, the Jewish Agency. And I don't know the total figure. It could be checked out maybe in Wikipedia. Tens of thousands of Jews got out of Hungary at that time. If not tens of thousands, thousands upon thousands. Where did they go? So the Jewish Agency established in Vienna, with a replay of the 1990s, a foreshadow, I should say, and pleaded with them to go to Israel. Agud and Israel sent representatives pleading with them to come to Israel. We'll take care of you and we'll clothe you, we'll feed you. Satmar from America sent representatives, Chas v'chalila, don't go to Israel and become idol worshippers, come to America. And here, he is so shocked. He says about Agudat Yisrael, you know, now he's already established in America and there are Satmar Chassidim who have money. I don't have to tell you, not everyone is a pauper. And he says, he says, you are good of people, you phonies. You didn't have a place for Yomo, who they took out, his third cousin, once removed from Hungary. You didn't have a place for him to sleep. You didn't have money to give him one meal. That's what he says. You heard what I quoted it. One meal, he says. And you went with the Zionists and you pleaded that they should come to Israel. You're a bunch of phonies. You joined and you brought them to Israel where they became idol worshippers. And boy, this is a strong attack. The Satmar Rebbe wrote it. Give Agudat Yisrael credit. They put a lot of money in. They bought out a lot of Jews. This was not a replay of the 1940s with the kids from Iran. Remember the Jewish kids from Poland that went to Iran that they brought here, that the Ben Gurion government cut off their payas and broke chickens' necks. You'd only shake them. This was not a replay. These people came to Israel. These people, by the way, those who went to America. And how did YU gain? Who was the caterer in YU? Mr. Weber. Do you remember the Weber family? Mr. Weber was a Hungarian refugee who got out at that time. He married Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkman's daughter. And they catered, the caterer who fed me when I ate lunch in YU was the daughter of Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, and her husband, the kosher caterer, whose whole education was in communist Hungary. All right, now, this is the Vayol Moshe, Adkan, the first part. A Talmud listening, a Satmar. I'll mention his name, Ephraim Kraus, Hira Baron. So he sent me two very fascinating tshuvot that tie in right with this building and what I was doing this morning between 7:30 to 8:30. Amazing. Yoma, you're going to get a little bit of an education in a minute. And These chuvot, I'll give you the sources in a few minutes. Ephraim Krauss was troubled by them because he knew, I'm going to say right away, these chuvot are a lie. It totally, totally is against Satmar ideology. The Satmarov is writing, fighting a good. What are you fighting a good? Just say Israel doesn't have a right to be put on the map. There's no Mashiach. So in a letter to me, February 2nd, 2022, and he tells me in advance that he was born and raised and lives in the Satmar community. I was born and raised in Kiryat Yoel and have lived for the past decade plus in Williamsburg. And I'd like to follow up on a few points, and the last paragraph is very important. The answer, in my opinion, lies in two responses very similar to each other that the Rebbe wrote before the war, way before the establishment of the State of Israel. It was written to one of his Talmidim who asked him about joining the Aguda. In both responsa, the primary issue the rabbi raises with the State of Israel isn't the three oaths or any other halachic or haggadic problem. The rabbi asks, quote, if God forbid the idea of a Jewish state comes to fruition, mi barosh, it is the politicians or is it the rabbi? That's it. Those who will lead the Jewish state will be leaders of the Jews, and the rabbis can't afford to give up leadership to the politicians. It is a typical king versus prophet argument. And he goes on and on. And what he's saying is that the Satmarov, really, if the Knesset had been composed of 120 Chafetz Chaims, he would have no difficulty with it. And this is what my dear student, Ephraim Krauss, I don't know, again, quoting yesterday, she, I don't know what titles he has, but we'll call him Rebbe Ephraim. I don't agree with him. I think that the Satmar Rav was dealing with these questions by people who had nine fingers in Satmar, and one finger, as you'll see, started to twitch towards Aguda. And what he's saying to them, you are Gudistim, you're out of it. You don't know what's going on. Let's say there will be a Jewish state. Let's say there'll be a Knesset. Mi Barosh. Mi Barosh is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in Perek Chelek. Who's going to be the head? The whole fight with the Rebbe Ben Nevad. Who's can't do tshuva? I'm not going to be the head. I can't do tshuva. Who's going to be in the Knesset? Api Karsim. They didn't dream at that time there'd be someone in the Knesset fighting for Jews to come at some Pesach. But in the year 2022, we saw it, Reform Rabbi Rekev, fighting for Jews to come at some Pesach. The granddaughter of the person who saved the Satmar Rav, fighting for Jews. We come at some Pesach. May Rav Michael, you know what I'm talking about, the head of the Avoda, beyond comprehension, cast his granddaughter, saved the Satmar Rav. And that's what he says in his letter. I want to thank him for sending me these two very fascinating tshuvot, but I don't agree. I think the Satmar is just saying, Lididach, according to your opinion, you're wrong for other reasons. But I don't agree with you altogether, even if every last member of the Knesset was a tzaddik yisoid olam hashem v'torah and mitzvah. Okay, now, these tshuvot are from a sefer called Piv Levav. It's a collection of tshuvot of the Satmar Rav, and I'm quoting Siman Zion and Siman Chet. We don't have a date of publication of the Tshuvot, but we can estimate, as Ephraim Krauss says, it's right before World War II. I would estimate it may be 37, 38. And at that time, the Jewish people were putting tremendous pressure on the League of Nations to open up Palestine to immigration. We had the tragedy of the White Paper. Again, I don't have to tell you, when I went into college, what I'm telling you, if I didn't tell you this before, Charlie, every syllable true. So I took German. Why did I take German? I wanted to read Rav Shimshon Folkyas. Nothing was available in English. And I took Ralph Rosenberg. I got the German award my sophomore year, my junior year. And Ralph Rosenberg begins the class. He says, let me tell you a story back in 1941. By the way, his picture is in the books he brought back from Chicago. Ralph Rosenberg, exactly as he looked. He said, I began the class in 41. I said to the class, gentlemen, do you really want to study German? Look what they're doing to us, the Jewish people. And one kid gets up and says, Professor, if we're not going to study the language because they persecute us, there won't be a language left in the world that we can study. And the same thing, we shouldn't be speaking English. What the English people did to us, what Roosevelt did to us, they wouldn't bomb Auschwitz, how many lives could have been saved. So it was a very tense period. And you can read, this is all available. Research has been done, books have been published. The Jews testified before the League of Nations. There was the League of Nations sent the commission to Palestine, and then the Peel Commission from England. And among those testifying that we need a Jewish state were the Agudists. And you got to remember, this is a period where Hitler is making clear he's going to kill every last Jew he can put his hands on. Where do we go? Where do we escape? Where do we run to? What year did your parents reach America, Charlie? This is the period. By the way, the Schlossbergs are coming in today. The Schlossberg, Ronnie and Ellie, and they have a grandson here in Tarachach. It's also a high-class Yekish families. You understand? I have grandchildren also of the Yichus, Samuel, Stern, all right? Baruch Hashem. So anyway, let me just end off the introduction. I began studying German. In my second year, Hirsch started to come out in English. I never used my German again, okay? But I made the effort. I was good in German, but afterwards, English is easy. I remember his Dreshes and Rosh Hashanah, like a pamphlet came out. And then there was a floodgate, Levi, the Chumash. I taught Levi's granddaughter in Mechola. And then Levi was re-edited, redone. There's now a better edition. What's gone on with Rav Hirsch? Then the Gesammelte Schriften, we have it down in the library. I bought it when my mother died in memory of my parents. I donated money here. We bought quite a few Sfarim, including the collected writings. Now, so here we're very responsible Sfarim Chassidim, who turned to the Rebbe and asked him, isn't it time to join with Agudat Yisrael? We need a home in Israel. We need a place that Jews can run away to. And the Sotmer of answer says, I'm sorry I didn't answer you right away. I've been very busy, but I must answer you because this is a terrible generation. And the generation is totally incapable of understanding what's happening. And you tell us to join Aguda. And he describes Aguda Shluveya. That's, you know what that means in contemporary here? Give me your hand. Shluveya, that where we walk hand in hand. Shluveya, Shluvim, joined together. Aguda with the Zionist, the Kaifrim. The country of the Zionists have destroyed the Jewish people. And all they want is to live like Goyim. And their greatest goal is not to leave one Jew who is from. And you want to join hands with them? Now, I have to tell you, some of these charges are correct. 100%. Ben Gurion, the government, what went on, They went with the viewpoint that the old-time Jew, the Gullus Jew, we have to get rid of him, eradicate him. Do you know that for many years in Israel, the law was if you worked for the government at a certain level or you reached a certain level in the army, you had to advertise your name. They wanted the entire Gullus ripped out. I had a big simcha yesterday. My youngest grandson, who's a career officer, and Vic knows him. He once landed in Vic Snow's shoe. He's a terrific Balkore. Anyway, he went up. He was the Katsin Mitzvayim. He was chosen, and the ceremony was yesterday. And he went up to captain. He's a young kid already. He's already got three bars. And his wife pinned it on him, holding the baby, and beautiful pictures that Yomo saw on my computer earlier today. And his name is Ackerman. If this would have been 40, 50 years ago, I think when you go out to captain, you have to Ackerman, Haklai, farmer. Ackerman means a farmer. Ackerman, he'd have to change his name, Haklai, advertise it. All right, today, Baruch Hashem, they let you keep the Gullus name. But some of these scriptures, something Rav is not entirely wrong. I'll just tell you in parentheses, the approach is wrong. The solution is Ben's coming in Aliyah. That's the solution. We have to come. We have to take over. We should have come in mass in the 1800s. That, but I don't want to tell you he's making it up. There was an element like this. But you, with the Haggadah, you know what I'm talking about? The army decided after the first war was over, the army decided they're going to come out with a Haggadah that will be relevant. So they got some famous Israeli writer, wrote a Haggadah. They printed up, I think, 100,000 copies of the Haggadah. It was just, I remember it, but I just saw it written up in the newspapers about Pesach. And this must be 1954. And they're going to distribute it all over the army. Well, people looked at the Haggadah, totally revised, nothing traditional. There was such an outcry that Ben-Gurion had to back down and ordered all copies of the Haggadah be burned. They burned 100,000 copies to get rid of it. That was... do you know Yiddish or not, Mark? Azevait nish. You understand what that means? The story, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik was walking along with Talmidim, and the Talmidim said to Reb Moshe, "Oh, your son, that's my Rebbe, Slatkiv Shrim, he's like your father, Reb Chaim." And Reb Moshe got hysterical. Azei Vait Nish, not Reb Chaim. He sees Reb Yosef Dovah, maybe some, not Reb Chaim. You understand? Today, those same people, they would be dancing in the street, eat chametz on Pesach, regular speaking, reform rabbi, give him a microphone at the Kotel. Shem Yerachim. But says to them, that's who you want to join with? Then he goes further and he says, and what are you telling me? They're making a big deal that we have the League of Nations behind us. So what? The Satmarot says, the League of Nations, there can be no Jewish sovereignty until Mashiach. The Goyim can't tell us to climb up the wall. I'm quoting him. The Goyim can't tell us to climb up the wall. But Mashiach Tzidkenu, he will tell us to climb up the wall, not the Goyim. No, these people writing to him are not Amei Arutz. They're bothering him. Tell me, can anyone tell me, here, you come into the room now. You smell, what are you smelling? The fresh paint, right? Not a pleasant smell. I can actually turn on the air conditioner if anyone wants. We'll get rid of the smell, but we can live with it. What's the chelbona? No, the Torah, the Chelbona, bad smell. So Chazal asks, why do you have to have Chelbona in the Torah? because it's a sign that Klal Yisrael, not like Rakesim, doesn't allow reforming conservative Jews to come near them. I couldn't believe this is what they think I said. But encourage them. We want them. They're part of Klal Yisrael. We don't want to lose them. We want to inspire them. We want to bring them back. There's no Jewish survival without Shabbat, Kashrut, and Karet Mishpacha. Plain and simple, axiomatic, proven, who report every statistic. Felbona, you have to have it. Hey, Satmarov, what's wrong with the Zionists? Felbona. More than that, the Lulav and Etrog, the Dalad Minim, what do Chazal say? This one has a smell, a taste. This one has a taste, no smell. Some Ravat, nothing. What's good about it? They represent the Jews that don't have mitzvot. We need them. We can't separate from them. Bullets don't differentiate between from and not from. Although I have to tell you, in Israel, with all these tragedies we have, I don't know, I inevitably see it's from people who get killed. Very sad. Like the bullet is after looking. Look at this Russian kid, the family, Alei Tshuva, many children, can I inherit him? Shem Yerachem, and he saved his girlfriend's life. I mean, just think for a minute what this person did, fell on top of her, saved her. Imagine she has to go further, what she has to live with now. God give us strength. God give us strength. I've seen battlefields. You know, I have a war ribbon from 82. And let me tell you, it's not simple. I have a lot to say, but it's not for now. God give us strength. Stop it off. Why are you pushing them away? We need the Chalbona. We need the Aravat. We have to join. We have to make a Kesha like the Dalad Minim. He raises the question, he acknowledges it, and he says, yeah, sounds like my discussion with Mark about legume derivatives and beetle before Pesach, beetle during Pesach, you know, mashahu before Pesach shishim, or could even be rov because it's only a minute, it's not even a formal gezeira. He says, yeah, you have chalbona when it's a small amount. 10%. The Zionists have conquered the world. They're the overwhelming majority. How can you join with them? You have Dalad Minim, only one is bad. The other three are great. The Zionists, they've conquered the world. How can you join with them? And wow. Then we come. Gentlemen, you've seen atomic bombs in your days. Let me take you back to 1977. Do you know what the Jewish Observer was? Can anyone tell me? The late Jewish Observer. I miss it, I have to tell you, because I used to, Rabbi Shera honored me and gave me a lifetime free subscription in honor of the work I do in Russia. Or Moshe Shera, whatever I read, I either love it or hate, you know, have a son-in-law, wouldn't allow it into the house. Treif wouldn't allow it in. I'm more open-minded. I say you have to read everything. Some of the articles were great, and some. No, Charlie, what article caused an atomic explosion that goes on until today? I know a dummy named Rakefid, who has 200-page manuscript he's going through now, type, making corrections, dealing with it. Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, how to teach about the Holocaust. Familiar with it? The atom bomb that dropped, how much has been written in response to him, including yours truly? Kaplan, how did Larry Kaplan became famous? The response in tradition. My dear students, Rav Kuttner developed a simple thesis. He robbed it from the Satmarav. It's right here, late 30s, word by word. what Rav Huttner says 30, 40 years later. You want a place to run away to? I'm quoting the Stockman now. You need Palestine to save Jewish lives? By yelling for Palestine, all you're creating is hatred and enmity for the Jewish people. Until the Zionists, the Jews and the Arabs live b'shalom, b'shalva, happiness, sweet. Oh, they loved each other. There was absolutely no hatred whatsoever for the Jewish people. But when those moronic Zionists said, we want Palestine, we want the land, we want sovereignty, we want to open the gates, then the Mufti said, they're going to take over the country, they're going to rob us. Get rid of the Jews. And the Mufti turned to Hitler. You all know what's going, what went on. All this is documented. And the Mufti said, get rid of the Jews. Get rid of the Maltz family. Who needs a Jewish family? Herbie Maltz, listening to the Shir, Chaim Maltz. And you want to demand Palestine? You want to testify at the UN? You want to see more and more Jews killed? You're creating acrimony, hatred, enmity. Wow. This is the Chachmarav. This is Rabbi Huttner, word by word, in his article in Jewish Observer. I can tell you, Eidut Nemanah, I've said this before, I say it again. I live in 18 Rav Chaim Berlin. Someday a book should be written about that building, the great Rabbanim, myself excluded, who lived in that building. Rav Aryeh Grusnes, the Av Beit Din of London, the Lev Aryeh. Rabbi Lewittis, Rabbi Chill, Rabbi Dresden, I think between the three of them, they wrote 20 volumes. Rav Yehoshua Huttner, Rav Yitzchak Huttner's first cousin, editor of the Encyclopedia Judaica, my revered neighbor, my best friend. I can tell you when this article came out, I was there. We lived a floor apart. We were always with each other. His wife, his first wife had died, and her husband, his wife was Reb Shmuel Soloveitchik's widow, my chemistry professor. When Mark and I married, she and her husband made a Sheva Brachos for us in YU in the Heights. And we were very close. He took the issue of the Jewish Observer, threw it on the floor, spat at it, and stomped on it. He was furious. But this is Rav Huttner. Where did he get it from? Sakhmirov. Word by word. Okay. Then he goes further. The Sakhmirov goes further. And we'll deal with this in great detail a year, half year from now, whatever, a year from now. Sakhmirov goes further. And says there's something else. The Rambam in here, look into Hilchot Melachim, Hilchot Tshuva. He gives you some of the sources, but you all know them. He says, how can you talk about going back to the land of Israel as amorphous as the topic is, the famous Rambam, that we don't know how it's going to happen exactly. But one thing is for sure, the Jews have to do Tshuva before they come back to the land. Where's the tshuva? Where do you see it? Where are the massive return of the Jewish people? You are talking geula, sovereignty. Let's talk the shlav before, the step before, the requirement before, massive tshuva. Knew by the late 1930s, the most famous Jews in the world. Who was the Shema Shabbos? Can mention many names. None of them was Shema Shabbos. Einstein, most famous Jew in the world. All right, he claimed he believed in God, but if believing in God doesn't result in putting on tefillin every morning and davening three times a day, may I quote my grandson, quoting his grandfather, that's not a true belief in God. Dr. Ruff here, very, very powerful. And then he ends off the tshuva with a little drush. I'm quoting him word by word. And the Sapper Rav explains it. In all the other geulot we had, Jews played a role, humans played a role. You'd see it in Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu. Shivat Bayit Sheni, Ezra, Nehemiah. The future geula, Ephes Tultachon, go alayna l'imot Mashiach. Only God will do it. Humans, Jews play no role. Zionists play no role. Agudat Yisrael plays no role. How dare you join with the Zionists? How dare you try to bring about redemption? Ephes, only God, l'imot Mashiach. And that's the way he ends off the tshuva. Powerful or not, what do you say, Ben?
Liberal.
Is Rakefet right or Ephraim Krauss? I say it's only l'shitatcha. Because his shita is, let the more be tzaddikim, it's right. He's dealing with people who suddenly had a yetzah hara or yetzah tov, depending how you look at it, to join Agudat Yisrael. Baruch ato Adonai melech olam shekhol yevet baro.
Amen.
No, Yomo, 20 minutes ago I said these two tshuvot will tie you to where Rakefet was and what he was doing in Grish. What do we do every morning? After we play with the computer, we've answered the emails, you go to Daven. What do? I go downstairs and play with the scanner, the printer, whatever you have there. This, tell me, who supplies that equipment to YU? What name is on it?
Gestetner.
Gentlemen, the Gestetner family, I don't know where they're at today. Satmar Chassidim from Hungary. By the way, when you say Hungary, it's not entirely true. Satmar at times was Hungary, at times was Romania, at times was even Austro-Hungary. But in general, we say Hungary. They try to let you know they're not Romanians, but I'll tell you why. Because Romania was conquered by Malchut, by Luzhin. And the Luzhinid dynasty was much more open to Zionism. You follow? Some of the big Luzhinid rabbeim were actually official Zionists. The Satmar was more Hungary, was Munkach, you follow? And they were totally opposed. The next tshuva, Simon Chet, is to Amram Gestetner. That's the family. Somehow they got out with their money to Israel and reestablished their business here. I think they're the biggest company in the country that imports the scanning, the Xerox machines, services it. I think they function from Gibbat Shaul. Be interesting to know if they're still Satmar, Agudistim, or whether they became religious Zionists. Be interesting to know. If anyone knows, let me know. And he writes to them, and here there's no kiddush. He says, yes, I've written another letter, and I know that people are bothering me, and I can't agree. And listen to these words, how sharp. Sariru palid chalila mehama'aminim betoratenu hakadosha. Boy, and you can't go any sharper than that. And this is Aguda thinking. He's telling Aguda, yes, join. Well, who are you going to vote? Who's going to be elected? Who are you going to see establish the Jewish community in Palestine? Because in Gomorrah, they hate Yiddishkeit. They want to uproot any Jew who still believes. And that's who you're going to go with? And you can't fight them. They're famous. They have money. They're rich. It's describing. Today, I don't know if you could describe it like this. Today, if Reb Zalman or Reb Aaron, any of the Satna, the Rebbeim, calls in a few of his Gishtetna Chassidim, he says, gentlemen, I need $1 million by 12 noon. There'll be $1 million on his desk by 11 a.m., not 12 noon. I mean, Satna today is a powerhouse. He needs a favor from the government, you know, their power. They vote on block in a democracy that's unheard of. You know, we Jews, I'm Kishay Arab, which only two Jews that look alike. Okay. But wow. Then he goes on, and that it's the Jews, the Zionists, this has caused the hatred. This is why the Arabs fight us. Halavai, we wouldn't be campaigning for sovereignty. Just open the door for a few Jews. The Arabs would gladly welcome us. And he ends off the tshuva, Hashem yitbarach yirachem, apleitat amo Yisrael, lahatzilam midrachim ke'ela, v'yotziyein mechachashakot hama v'hanimha, u'b'yeshuato yitbarach yirenu, v'yifralonu mitzareinu, u'b'hitgalot kvold malchuto yitbarach shemon iskel lerot besimchatzim v'yirushalayim habnuya, V'har ha-moriah, v'noma lafanav, shira chadasha, hallelujah. Beautiful ending. I need not tell you, in a few days, we'll all be singing shira chadasha lafanav, ashreinu mashe sachinu. Just there. The patience. You know what it's like, again, Ben, you're now becoming more involved, but under the current, no one understands that tourists come, you know, they see all the beautiful things. They don't know all the wonderful boys and girls we buried, how many students, children of students. Brings back memories, you know, Masi Karam. It's very difficult. You all know my grandson was wounded in 2014. Baruch Hashem. God did miracles. He married a wonderful girl. Miracles. And as you know, I think I explained in class, we found out later it's the third shidduch between our families. We couldn't. I still can't believe it. Can I hurry? Okay. Charlie. There's another section to the Vayakel Moshe. Nothing to do with the three oaths. This section has to do with Maima Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It deals with Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. There are three divisions, Maima Shalosh Shavuot, Maima Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and Maima Lashon HaKodesh. We'll get to that next semester, Be'ezrat Hashem. We're not going to finish the, I hope, or maybe we'll make some ground and cover, but we have to do it. The Iyun. Now, why do we have a Maima Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? What's troubling the Satmar Rav? Satmar Rav has a tremendous quagmire. There are many Maimarei Chazal that deal with Israel, Eretz Yisrael, deal with life. Where you live. Let me quote from the Rambam, and you all know the Rambam summarizes everything. If you want the exact quote, look into the Nosei Kalim or look into Reb Chaim Kanievsky's Mishmeret Chayim, and you get all the sources. I'm quoting Hilchot Melachim,
Perikei, the last three halacha, halacha yud, halacha yud aleph, halacha yud bet. Gedolei hachamim hayu menashkin al tchumei Eretz Yisrael, umenashkim abonero umitgalgalim al afra. And you all know that it's Gemara, Midrashim, the end of Ketuvot, that the Gedolei hachamim, they would kiss the land of Israel. You all know it. Came in Aliyah, get off the boat, get off the plane occasionally. Now I can't do it because my knees don't work properly. But when I was younger, I kissed the ground. I kissed the ground. It's an open halacha. Amru chachomim kol ha-shochein beretz Yisrael avonotav mechulin. You live in Israel, all your sins are forgiven. Kol ha-kavur bo niskapelo. You look in, you'll see. Wow. And you're buried here. But your sins are forgiven. As you know, every day, I said yesterday, if I'd be a good Jew and be Mekayim Halvaya Tameit, I would have to build a home in the cemetery and in Beit Shemesh every day, you know, someone else being buried there. And I don't know, do they have a right to be buried here? Chutz Laaretz? It's not so simple. I have a lot to say on this topic, a lot of the Gemara in Ketuvot, the Gemara Yerushalmi Ketuvot, etc. But okay, the minhag Yisrael is, I say if they have children or grandchildren living here, okay, let them be buried here. And to be buried in the land, halacha yudbet, this is the epitome, this is the apex. Li olam yadur adam beretz Yisrael, afilu b'irsha rubam goyim, v'al yadur b'chutz la'aretz afilu b'ir, Sheruba Yisrael. Wow. Better to live in Israel in a city like Akko or Yafo or in the Galil with their real problems, you may have a majority of Arabs, than to live in Lakewood where you have a majority of Frum Jews, right or wrong? Are there any Mechalalei Shabbos living in Lakewood? Well, tell me, how could you be Mechalal Shabbos there? You feel awkward. It's like Heshem, Ruth Heshem, when she turned 90. This is from the descendant of the Talmidei Hagra. This is the elite of Jerusalem. She turned 90, interviewed her for the Jerusalem Post. And they said, what can you tell us? You've lived in Jerusalem all your life. She lives in Sharei Chesed. Lived. I don't think she's alive today. And she said, I never thought the day would come when my neighbors would look down upon me for driving on Shabbos. This is what that idiot said. She should have said, thank God the day has come that Jews have returned to their birthright, to their Torah, to their God, to their people, to their land. And you know how stupid that Kaffir is? I met a cousin of hers and I started telling her, boy, your cousin's an idiot. Look what she said. And her cousin apologizes to me. I said, I'm not upset with you. I'm upset with your cousin, Ruth. But what do you do with this Maima Chazal? That better to live in Israel, Ir Sharubo Akum, than to live in Lakewood, than to live in Tinak, Ir Sharubo Yisraelim, Tzadikim, Kedoshim, Hasidim, etc. Excuse me. Okay, so this is one set of halachas that the Satmar Rav has to deal with. Then you come to Hilchat Dayot. These are very important halachas. I can't tell you how much has been written. The Perek Shishi, Hilchat Dayot, Halacha Aleph. Derech b'riyato shel adam liyot nimshach b'deyotav v'masav achar le'av v'chaveirav nohagim k'minegog anshei medinato. And this is absolutely true. Anyone who's taking a course in sociology understands this. A human being, most human beings,
don't really have a strong mind of their own. Most human beings, you're part of the crowd. You want to fit in. You're influenced by your friends, by your neighbors. Fine. All right. Nothing wrong with it. L'fikach tzarich adam lekabel et tzaddikim v'leishev etzel hachachamim tamid kedei sheyumod b'maseim v'yitrachek min harashayim hachochim v'choshech kedei shelo yumod b'maaseichem. Wow. Who should you live near? Tzaddikim. Them. Learn from their deeds. Don't live near a shayim and be decimated by their irreligiousness, by their thinking. All right. This too is common sense. Why does everyone move to Beit Shemesh? Just think for a minute what's going on. Beit Shemesh, Gimel, Dalit, Hey, Vav, Zion, Chet, they told me Ted already, they're beginning. Ramot, wow, Beit Shemesh. All right. Just think, why does everyone move to Lakewood, Teaneck, Pico Boulevard, Beverly Hills? Yeah, yeah. Good friends, Jews. So what happens? The gang. Im hayab medina shel min hagatacharaim v'ein anashim chokhim b'derech yishara yeilech l'mokum shanashet sadikim v'nohagim b'derech tova. And Rambam, you have to move out. You have to live among sadikim, among kadoshim. And he goes further. And if you hear that people don't act properly and your only choice is to live among them, and Abraham says, Kamoz Manenu, and he says, get away. Yeshev Levado Yechidi Kin Shinema Yeshev Badad Vijidom. And if it's a Medina where they won't let you live, they mix in democracy, part of the crowd, then Yetzei l'ma'arat u'lecholchem u'lemidbarat v'al yanhig atzmo bederech hata'im. And the Rambam postulates l'halacha that you're obligated to move away, live in a desert, live by yourself. This is the halacha. This is the Rambam. How do you balance it out? Yomo, how do you find the Shvil HaZahav? How do you balance it out? Eretz Yisrael, you're going to come on Aliyah from Palm City, Kiryat Yoel today, Palm Tree it's called. It's incorporated. It's a town. And you're going to come in Aliyah from such a wonderful community, and you're going to live in Katamon. Katamon, 70% of the Jews are Shomer Shabbos. 30% are not. You're going to live in Rehovot. How does Rehovot divide? 60-40, 50-50? What would you say, Charlie? 50-50? You have a Rebbe there. You have a Rebbe. The Kresnik Rabbi sent the Yashikayach to Silman when she left the government. Kalakabal to him. But how do you pass this? Who better are? Those are Yiddish that the Rav taught me. One or the other. You follow me, Mark? Unfedara. Either Israel is everything among Goyim, among Arabs, or run away to the desert, hide. So what do you do in America? How do you hide? How do you keep away? Remember what I told you, in a very prominent day school, a frum day school, they taught the parents, they taught the teachers, had a meeting, and they said, don't speak out against homosexuality. It's against the law of the land. We'll have problems with the government. in a prominent day school. I just had that this morning. I saw an announcement and they mentioned a frum shul 100%. And they mentioned this one is married, that one is married, give the name of the spouse, and the lesbian with the name of the lesbian she's living with. I told anyone in that shul is obey the by the Zohar. As the Gemara says, the same Gemara, the same Rambam. You leave Israel, you live in Chutz Laretz, you're Oveid Aveidah Zarah. How do you balance it out? This is the Satmar Rab's dilemma. Okay, now we have arrived. And I'll tell you what's very interesting here. Satmar Rab, beginning on page Shin Mem Dalet, the almighty Shin Mem Dalet, I can tell you in advance that this is the most widely quoted part of the three sections of the Yom Moshe. And I'll tell you why it's the most widely quoted part. Some people quoted L'Shvach, some people quoted L'Gnai. Why? Very simple. The Shin Mem Dalet. It's not written that way. You know, if you would write it the right way, it would be Shmad. So because they don't want to write Shmad, they write Dalet Shin Deshem. It's a better word than Shmad, but it's Shin Mem Dalet. Why is this the most widely quoted part? Tell me. A very basic part of our davening, of our thinking, of our, I would say, halachic, philosophic, hashkafa, yud gimul midat. Right or wrong? Keor, rachum, v'chanun, erech apayim, v'chesed, etc. The Satmar Rav says, I have yud gimul midat that I'm going to teach you how to solve the problem of the two extremes of the Rambam. Ben a chassid, the Rebbe is on a level that he can give you Gimel Midot. Let me tell you, Litvak, seeing this, you're shocked, flabbergasted. Who is he? A bus of a dun. He can tell us Yud Gimel Midot, but it's widely quoted. This is known as the Yud Gimel Midot of the Satmar Rav. Now, here, and he says, Zol Torah Torah Mikol HaMekupad Siyuma DePaskav B'Ktzeira Sidati Al Shlosh Esrei Ikarim Ki Ikarei HaEmunah VaHamidot SheNitnu LiYisrael. Okay, and let's begin. Number one, and halavai we could live up to this. Misha hu tzadik tamim u'mekayem kol ha-Torah kula v'eina over al shum davar chas v'chalila hu lo l'schut gadol im yoshev be'eretz Yisrael ad ein l'sha'er. And this is the highest level. Someone who's a tzaddik and doesn't fall prey to any sins, and he can live in Israel, there's nothing equal to it. This is the shufra, the best of the best. But he goes on, Aval hamdim sham b'nishyonot, v'yein shosim sham aveira, Ein keitz lematen scharam, v'yahei chelki im ovdei Hashem yitbarach bi emet be'eretz Yisrael. And what he's saying is, yes, you got to be sure you can withstand the temptation. If you can live and withstand the temptation, no one is better than you. This is the highest level. Now, this is open to discussion. What does it mean, withstand the temptation? I think from the Sakhmarov point of view, it means to remain a Sakhmachasid, that you can live in the Geula, you can live in Bnei Brak. Those are two areas that have a good nuclei of Sakhmachasidim. They remain dressed like Sakhmachasidim. They think like Sakhmachasidim. They don't vote in the elections. If you can live on that level, then you're a tzaddik. Okay? And that solves the problem. You're living according to Hilchat Malachim, and you're living in Eretz Yisrael. Nothing can equal that. And then he goes further. His second principle, Mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael, what does the Gemara say? Shekula keneged kol ha-mitzvot. There's nothing greater than living in Israel, doing the mitzvot. That's the highest level of Jewish existence. But it's like a chemical equation. If it works on one side, it works on the other side. Doing Aveirat in Eretz Yisrael is a million times worse than doing Aveirat in Chutz La'aretz. Mitzvah Yisrael, just school that can I get called a mitzvah? Aveirat in Eretz Yisrael, destroy the mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael. And here he's very powerful. He quotes from the Shnei Luchat HaBrit, Alovei Aveider Shem Aleim Ne'emah V'Tavou V'Tetamu Et Atzli, that when people sin in Eretz Yisrael, they're causing harm to the very land. They're defiling the very land. These are the words of the Satmar. Very powerful. V'yishlechu me'Eretz Yisrael k'klavim. And they'll be thrown out of Israel like dogs. And here I got to tell you a little story. B'didi ha'viyuvda. It may go back to 69 or 70. Friday night, I davened that as usual for 37, 47 years. I davened every Friday night at the Kotel. And I'm walking back and walking with a student or two from BMT, and a Yemenite Jew joins us, just davened with our minion. And I remember we're walking Rehov Shalshelet, right at the heart of the Shuk. And he says to these kids, they could speak Hebrew. Hebrew was much widely in the day schools. There was more Hebrew today. The stress is on English, but you want the kid to remain thrum. You got to talk with him his native language. I'm told even Ramaz in Flatbush classes in English. And he says to them, Mamatem or Simkan, what are you doing here? And the kids tell him they're at BMT, they're here for the year. And he says to them, are you going to settle here? And the kids, they're all of 20 at the time, they're Megam Gamim, they're not giving him a clear answer. And this little Yemenite says to them, Taidu, I want you to know, if you leave Israel, it's not that you left Israel. It's that the land threw you out. You were not worthy of living here. He said, the land here is very smart, and it looks at you and it judges you, and it knows whether you're zakai to have the zchut of living on Admat HaKodesh or not. I'll never forget that. Walking home from the Kotel, this little Yemenite, powerful lesson. And here the Satmar Rav says, Yishlechu me'Eretz Yisrael k'klavim, like dogs. And he goes further, שמתחמים את הארץ ומעכבים את הגולה. And these people have no right to live here. That if anyone asks me, I tell them שיהיה ראוי לדור בארץ הקודש, אלא הזכירו בזכירות. You have to be very careful. You have to know you're strong enough. I can't tell everyone to come settle here. It's לפי מה שהוא אדם, וידע איש בנפשי, ואם כוונתו לשמיים, השם לא ימנע טוב להולכים בתמים. And you see, the second principle is very powerful, that you have to know you can live, you can be strong. And this is a very delicate question that everyone who comes to an Aliyah faces. And I can tell you, we made a decision in 69. It turned out to be the right decision. All the Anglos coming at that time were going to Bayit Vagan. Bayit Vagan was far from what it was today. And they were going there. Why were they going there? The attraction was Bayit Vagan is becoming a totally from neighbor. It's like Hanof. Hanof began. I still remember how Hanof began. It was a mixed neighborhood. And then so many from Jews moved in that the five Chiloni families who remained sold out. They made a good profit. The neighborhood had gone up in value and moved elsewhere. I understand it's happening with Givat Sharet today. They tell me the Givat Sharet too is becoming a Bayit Vagan Jr. Tell me, we decided not to live in such a neighborhood. We decided we had the chance with miracles. When I look back, I can't go into details now. Mamish miracles we bought in Rechavia. A Kiyat Shmuel could be more exact, but everyone calls it Rechavia today. Why did we choose Rechavia? For two reasons. One, I was selfish. I wanted to be within walking distance of the Kotel. Two, we wanted the kids to grow up in a neighborhood where not everyone would be the same. We wanted to impress upon them the concept of choice, the chira, that we didn't want a situation where a girl leaves Beit Yaakov, and I don't have to tell you how many times this has happened, how many books have been written with hatred for Yiddishkeit. A girl leaves Beit Yaakov, and she discovers a big world out there. And within a few years, she's the worst of the worst. Read some of the books that have come out as we speak. The worst of the worst. Sneered? What sneered? Walk around naked like an animal. We're animals. So this was the decision we made. Don't know if it's the right decision. My grandson, my grandchildren, some of them live in the Shomron. I have one grandson, I don't recognize him. This kid is getting a master's. He's worker of the year. He gets all types of awards. He married the right girl. That's the pshat. I said, you were growing up. If someone would tell me you're going to get a master's one day, I would say you're crazy. What a responsible kid. He can't take the philosophers. He lives in a yeshiv, in Leshem. Everyone is Shem Torah mitzvah. He can't take the Chilul Shabbos. I don't know. Is it good or bad? We don't know where the kids will be. The kids have to know there's Chilul Shabbos. There's Eiflin Levedet and Trefot. They're Reform rabbis who only want to eat chametz on Pesach. But I want the kid. I want him. Jews, uvachata b'chayim. These are delicate questions. But it's interesting. The Satmurur, first he says, if you're tzaddik and you won't be affected, fine. Secondly, you have to know if you do Aveirat Neretz Yisrael, it's a lot less than doing an Aveirat in Phoenix, Arizona. And fabulous. And I never forget that Yemen. I want you to know, the kid he spoke to, I met years later. He's today probably a great-grandfather already with a flock of children living in Eretz Yisrael, successfully integrated. And this is our reward when I gave that talk on BMT Gris. to see some of the young people who came here, young people, grandparents already, but this was the result of BMT. We changed the Anglo-Torah world, plain and simple. And Hashgacha Pratit, if I would tell you in my life, every decision I made, I didn't make it. Ribbono Shel Olam, a little push. That was it. All right, so to reiterate, first of all, I want to thank everyone for coming today. It's good to see humans in front of me, not just on the screen. I apologize to all those on the screen. I'm looking at the classroom, but there are quite a few Talmidim sitting in front of me. So what did we do today? Number one, we dedicated this year in memory of a young lady at 67, Dale Pianco. I taught members of the Pianco family. It's a Brooklyn family, a Borough Park family. They were very close members of that family to my cousins, the Daniels, who lived in Borough Park. Today, a good deal of the family is here. But this lady, she picked up my shiur many years ago. I'm not going to repeat what she told me. You know, people tell me things that I should have more self-image. I'm just a little kid. I should have amounted to a lot more, considering that the Rav sat here and I sat here. Rav Baron Cutler, I could argue with him. But no one can accuse me of not trying. I've tried to amount, you know, Rav Zusha of Anapol, Shlomo. God is not going to ask me why I'm not Rav Baron Cutler. God is going to ask me why I didn't become what Zusha could have become. So at least I'm trying my best. But this lady had such an overblown vision of yours truly, because I guess I write the shurims and the sangyasun, and she could repeat to me word by word the shia. I couldn't get her, and not only me, there are other people in Hollywood, Florida, when you'll tell, they'll tell you the reading. Oh, Rav Rakefet, that's her Rebbe. She can repeat word by word. She's buried by now. If the plane was on time, the funeral was over. Yehezich Rav Baruch, and Lenny should find solace and go my chayel. Lenny, if you have any good seichel, retire, come in Aliyah, and join our shir here in Gris. And if you come, maybe more children will join you here in addition to your daughter, Be'ezrat Hashem. All right. Then the heart of today's shir was the Shatmur of the Hungarian Revolution. And imagine the say to the Agudat Israel, you didn't have enough money for one meal. I protest. I don't think Agudat was that poor. They got money from the government by that time. You didn't have enough money for one bed. And you want them to join the Zionists, the Rishayim Geburim, etc. The two letters are classic to the Gishnatna family and the other letter. And the only way I can explain that, and I hope our friend Krauss will agree with me, if not, we can differ. He says that really the Satmar Rebbe felt, though I don't think so. I think even if the whole Knesset were Chafetz Chaim and Reb Chaim Moiser and Reb Chaim Briska, the Satmar Rebbe would still say, Asa, Pasol, Apikursit, etc. Those letters are important, but it means the Sitatcha, you're a bunch of idiots for joining with the Zionists. We're now beginning a very interesting second part of the Satma, and that's Mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael. And how does he deal with the Rambams I showed you, Shulchateya, Tilchot Malachim? And these are the Yud Gimel Ikarim. You can, I'm quoting it, Yud Gimel Ikarim, I have to tell you, I quote it hesitantly because it troubles me. I'm not a Satma Chassid, and you understand what I'm saying, Ben. Yud Gimel Ikarim, but that's what the Satma called it, and everyone quotes it. It's famous, Yud Gimel Ikarim of the Satma. And number one, he has to admit someone can live here and be a tzaddik. It's a lot better than living in Chicago. No two ways about it. Then the Aveira, you should know that if you did Aveira in Palm City, Palm Tree, it's one thing, but to do an Aveira in Eretz Yisrael, it's not just your matame yourself, your matame the land. And that was the story I told you from that Yemenite, which I relive. I cannot tell you, if only I would remember Shasim Poiskim like I remember all the conversations I've had in the last 84 years Oh, would I be a lamdan? But what can I tell you? The conversations remain, and the but never forget my vort from the Rav, that the Rav said, you know, we forget. The Rav said, yes, but learning Torah is like going to mikveh. You go to mikveh, you dry yourself, but the Torah remains. You may forget, but the Torah of learning Torah remains. That's a meritic vort from my Rebbe himself. His Yotzeitist was Yudchet Nisan Solomon. Are there any questions on this end of the ocean? Yes, Becky.
To clarify, I think you said that the first, the Vel Moshe, the pamphlet that you described, the first Chelek, was written while he was in Eretz Yisrael. But at the same time, he does speak about 1956, which was after he was in America.
So no, that was when he published it afterwards. He added, those are additions. Oh, no. But the original pamphlet was just on the original topic, the three oaths.
So the original pamphlet was there. So then when he published, he added some.
In America, he had money and he had Menucha Kanefesh. And then when he published, you'll see already when we deal with Lashon HaKodesh, with women, I mean, it's very fascinating. You can see already he's struggling with America. Not so simple. But yes, Ein Hachinami, what you say is correct. The tshuva don't have dates on them, but I would estimate it's 37, 38. And I'm pretty sure if I'm wrong, I'm wrong by a year. Okay, can I open it? Okay. Is anyone in the very wonderful crowd listening on both continents? Are there any questions from your end? Nachum Lem, I just want to tell you, I got your two emails. And most fascinating, and you're right, that's the lady I was talking about. And Enoch Inami at Sadekit is so dolam. I can tell you more. I mean, I saw her whole problem and what she went through. And I am very inspired by that lady. And Enoch Inami, she thought she was born Jewish, and then she found out her mother was not Jewish too. And my wife sensed it. My wife sensed that they were both converts, but they're tzaddikim. You got to understand, these people converted and really became from. Okay.
I told her you complimented her. She was very moved. She said, she said she has to get in touch with you.
you told her, very nice, very nice.
If I can be cynical for a second, Rebbe, maybe it's not so much, he would have a problem with 120 Chafetz Chaims, but maybe he wouldn't have a problem with 120 Satna Rebbes, if I can be a little...
You're being a little sharp, but I have to tell you, Lefi Shitato, even 120 Satna Rebbes would be...
I know, but maybe, if it had been his Shita, would be different. I don't know.
No, I don't. I'm giving him the credit that he really takes the three oaths as he took it seriously. And this is not the gula. The answer is what the Satma Chassid answered me. I said to him, how can the Rebbe Porish Min HaTzibur? Remember what I told you with the Rebbe Porish Min HaTzibur, the Rambam? So that Satma Chassid said to me, and he's a Talmud of mine, he said, Rebbe, you don't understand. Satma thinks they're the Tzibur. All right, if you go with that, they're the tzibur. And by the way, he says that with you, that the people worshipped idols, only a few hundred Jews were left. He quotes from Nak. So he goes with that shita. He's the tzibur. But all right, I don't want to be cynical. I want to understand him. I guarantee you I will refute him, and I challenge anyone in the world to prove me wrong. The gauntlet is thrown, but not now. Now I want to understand them. Afterwards, it will take a few weeks, and I know what I have to do. It's already iti bak tuvim. You ever heard that expression, rabbinic expression? I'm publishing it. I wrote it up already. Iti bak tuvim. So we'll get there. But Be'ezrat Hashem. Are there any other questions? Yes.
Rabbi, just two short things about what you said. First, what you said about Hungary, I remember once, in 56, the Egyptians also had the revolution, with the Sarnai campaign. Right. So right. I had a teacher once, she was Hungarian, Jewish. She had fled from Hungary in 56 to Israel, and her husband had fled from Egypt in 56 to Israel, and they got married. They met each other in Israel. They both fled their revolutions in the same year. But what you What you said about the children rebelling about Israel, we had on Yom HaShoah, you know, they have survivors talking. So in my company, they had my boss's mother, her parents were survivors. So she spoke about them. And he's Israeli. She opened her mouth and she talked like an American. So somebody in the company said, we never knew that your mother, you know, your mother was an American. She said, yeah, well, they were survivors. They came to Israel in 48. They left after 5-6 years, moved to America. She was raised in America. She said, I went to college in Michigan, whatever. I went to Israel for a year. I never came back. I broke my parents' heart.
So, yeah. And that comes back to what I said 2 hours ago, where they quoted me in the Mizrahi magazine. Israel was a country that was built by children who didn't listen to their parents. I can tell you, Malka's parents, Malka's father was a self-taught Hebraist, was a big Zionist. Her mother came from, you know, a fourth-generation American, Brooklyn, Frum family, semi-Hasidic, Malachim, and their attitude was, Israel is a country for poor Jews, not Jews that can make a living in Chutz Laretz. But Baruch Hashem, I think when they saw what happened to us here, they made their peace that we had gone in Aliyah. And there's a couple of students, married to a student from Kew Gardens Hills, actually. So I brought them in Aliyah. And their mother, she was a widow, his mother, Rebbetzin, a famous husband, a famous father-in-law in the rabbinic world, and the mother was mad at me. You know, I took the kids away. I was privileged that she lived and I lived to hear her say to me, the greatest thing you did for my children was bringing them in Aliyah. So Baruch Hashem, and now there's a floodgate. What's happening? You see the statistics, more Olim than ever. And I tell my grandchildren, a big Zionist, and they're very mad at any Jew who remains in America. And I tell them, look, you don't leave Israel. I quote the Ibn Ezra. I gave a whole talk the other day. Chaval, I didn't record it. I gave a talk on Sam Dershowitz's Yahrzeit. I should have recorded it. You know, I have this attitude, what I say is not important, but when I say it and I finish it, it really was a Melechet Machshava, and it was the first Yahrzeit. And with everything, I should have recorded it because it was in Hebrew. And I'd be interested to see how many people pick it up and whyutorah.org. But I quoted the Ibn Ezra. That's the Ibn Ezra that the Dar that left Egypt could not be the Dar that came into Israel. You just haven't the ability to adjust to new circumstances. So I try to tell my grandchildren, it's not so easy to make Aliyah, but there's no question today, I tell them, it's a quality Aliyah from America. The boys and girls, the young people who come have been here, they studied here, they know the situation, they know the achievements of Israel, they know the difficulties of Israel, they know the bureaucracy of Israel, they know the reform rabbis in Israel eating chametz on Pesach. They've been exposed to this, and it's much easier for them today. Also, we have a buddy system. Nefesh ben nefesh, you didn't have in my time. My time, it was swim or sink. All right, we swam. 40, 50% of the Anglos who came with us went back. Today, you have nefesh ben nefesh. It's a buddy system. It is fabulous. So Ashrenu Shezachinu, that their problem is galore, their problem is galore. That Mashiach is not here, Mashiach is not here. But that we've come a long way since 1948. This is a reality. We have a lot to be proud of. They just closed down the Israeli hospital. I understand that everything now is more organized. They're coming back. The stories they're telling, the Kiddush Hashem, the cover they brought to the flag of Israel. Ashreinu Shezachinu. All right, we should go forth. Yom HaZikaron is a very difficult day. Those of us who have lived here as many years as I have, so many we know, so many are buried, so many lives were destroyed, so many girls didn't get a widow's pension because they were only engaged and not married yet. Breaks the heart. On the other hand, we have no choice. This is the Jewish Geschichte, it's the saga, it's the way Rebbein Shlomim has declared the world will work. We have a share in it too. There's the whole question of bitachon, hishtatlut, and decisions, etc. But we have to remember on Yom HaZikaron, and then we have to celebrate B'lev V'Nefesh on Yom HaTzma'ut. And I'll end off with one of my witticisms, my sense of humor. The longer you live here, the greater your kavana when you say halal on Yom HaTzma'ut. You see our politicians and our bureaucracy and Strauss and Company and the candy and the Smanella, whatever you call it. And Baruch Hashem, we survive in dignity. We better say halal with more kavana than ever. I want to thank everyone for their participation, honoring me with your attendance on both sides of the ocean. And next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, we pick up exactly where we left off on Sunday with the Rambam of Godel HaMetzuvah V'yota, Eina Metzuvah V'yota, the two Roman officers. We taught them Torah. Can we teach them Torah? And then we'll see the Machlokes, Reb Menashe Klein and Reb Moshe. And then we go into a golden tshuva. I'm going to reveal sources, and it's halacha l'maaser at this very minute. But give it time and give us health. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Yom Zikaron, meaningful Yom Chag Atzma'ut Sameach. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Das V'danya.
Yeshkoach, Rebbe.
Bruchim to you, bruchim to you, bruchim to you.